Yeah, it's incredible. Jealous. And too many responsibilities.
You have to wake up in the middle of the night and not care. And then you get a picture and they're laid out in their bed, knocked out. Oh, man. We'll get them both from Detroit in just a second. Mo from Detroit in just a second. We got Matty B. Matt Barrels on. We'll be trying to catch up with him, but we had to move some things around this week. But Matt Barrels kind enough to join us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it in time for you to discover the Islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? So to my understanding, Matt, Niners day off today, huh? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys. Yeah, day off for the players. Day off for Matt Barrows.
Yes.
So that's the real message here.
Before we get into training camp and what's happening at training camp and the Aiyuk and Trent Williams situation or whatnot, what does Matt Barrows do on a day off during training camp?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm trying to figure that out right now. I have the whole day ahead of me. So it's busy work, paying bills, figuring out why I was charged this. I always charge that sort of thing. You know, fun day.
It's those days off. Sometimes I sit there on a day off and it gets to be 1 o'clock. It's like, wow, I haven't done anything on my day off. What goes? Anyway, Aiyuk hasn't done much at practice. He's been on the sideline with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. So what's the latest with him? I don't follow the internet in terms of rumors and all these fake accounts or whatnot, but you see him hugging Shanahan and dapping up John Lynch and people are making a big deal about it. Was it a big deal? Are we getting closer to Brandon Aiyuk actually being on the practice field to play for the 49ers and getting a new deal done?
Yeah, I don't think there's any indication of that. I think it's still kind of going back and forth, and I don't know if any ground has been gained, but I will say that the body language is good. I mean, the narrative out there nationally is that, oh, Brandon Aiyuk is so upset and he wants to get traded to the Commanders. He wants to get traded to, this team and that team. But when you see him out there, he is enjoying himself. I mean, early in training camp, he watched half of a practice next to John Lynch. John Lynch sits in center field like a safety does and watches the practice from that vantage point. He had Brandon Aiyuk next to him for, you know, a good 45 minutes during a few sessions. And then yesterday he was, on a cart on the side of the field, and he was talking to Frank Gore at one point. He was talking to Deebo Samuel at one point. Like I said, he is doing team meetings. He's doing everything but the practices. So he's been part of this team. And I think that's only, encouraging, I think, for ultimately getting this done. When that happens, I still don't know. The 49ers don't know. Brandon Aiyuk doesn't know. But the point is that he's here and he seems to be enjoying himself.
What about Trent Williams? Any word on like where he is, where the negotiations stand, like what's going to happen there? Are they connected or not connected to Aiyuk? Is there a timeline for either one of them? Are they contingent on each other? Like, I have so many questions on this.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had answers for you. This is something that the 49ers knew about for a while now, certainly since the spring, and it didn't get done. So I don't know whether it's Trent Williams waiting on other offensive tackles deals to get done, and a big one got done this morning, Tristan Wirfs in Tampa Bay. So I don't know if that eases it along. I'm sure that Trent Williams isn't eager to go through a full camp and be out here with the guardian cap on his head and kind of sweltering for days and days and days. I feel like he realizes that he can get tuned up for the season by maybe half a training camp or, 3 weeks at the end of August and into September. So my point is that sometimes with these veterans, they hold out it's not solely because of this, but they figure, okay, I don't need to be there anyway. Let's just see how things play out. And then we'll start to get things done, say, around August 10. August 10 is the initial preseason game in Tennessee. That's when I think, the rubber hits the road a little bit on these holdouts. It starts to get serious at that point. I think the 49ers would love to have Aiyuk back before the joint practices with the Saints in Southern California. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important period for Kyle Shanahan. It's where you've seen some big sort of roster decisions made in the past. They went up to Minnesota a couple of years ago. That's when Brock Purdy really kind of leapfrogged Nate Sudfeld. Yeah. And the same thing last year with the Raiders. There was some sort of truths known at that point. And so I think that's a important period for the 49ers. And that's coming up in basically 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is unfortunate Trent's not here because I always love Trent and Nick Bosa working together. And obviously last year, Nick Bosa didn't come to training camp. He came, 3 days before the Pittsburgh Steelers game. And then Trent now holding on. So we'll see about that as we're talking to Matt Barrels here on the River Islands guest line. All right, looking at some positional battles. Obviously, Drake Greenlaw is going to be out for a while. So that other linebacker opposite of Fred Warner, because I hear Fred Warner's is having an all-time training camp once again. No surprise, right, Matt? But Devontae Campbell coming over from Green Bay, D. Winters, Jalen Graham. What's going on at that other linebacker spot opposite of Fred Warner now that Drake Greenlaw's out?
Yeah, with Greenlaw out, they need an every-down linebacker, and that's going to be Devontae Campbell. He's looked good. He's, to his credit, you know, he played every snap, first team snap back in the spring, and he's continued to do that in the summer. He and Leonard Floyd are the two newcomers that have really sort of been, iron men as far as kind of, taking every snap. So, that's looking like he's going to be the number two linebacker. And the question is, who's the number three? And they've got some veterans in that spot right now. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles has played there. Curtis Robinson has played there. But what I'm looking for is one of these second-year guys, D. Winters, Jalen Graham, to make a move. And like I was saying, you know, those moves tend to be made at those joint practices. So these two young guys who both played well, both been really physical since the pads have gone on Monday, I think they've got a chance to ascend. And I think D. Winters really is in a good spot to be that number three linebacker this year. He's fast. I mean, he made a play yesterday in the backfield. I think every longtime 49ers reporter thought the same thing. He wears number 53, and he comes swooping in and makes a big hit on a running back 5 yards deep in the backfield. And your initial thought was, what's Navarro Bowman doing back out there? the same number, the same kind of physique, wow. The same kind of flashing into the offensive backfield. Arrow up for him. Number three linebacker doesn't play a lot of snaps, but number three linebacker becomes number two linebacker if there is an injury.
Matt Barrels.
That's an every down position. Oren Burks was in it a few times last year, including in the Super Bowl. So, that's potentially a big spot.
Shasky's eyes just lit up when you said Navarro Bowman, Matty P. You started something here.
What you got?
You started something. Navarro Bowman, 53. You thought you saw flashes of him. We all got happy right now. We love Navarro Bowman around here.
Matt, give me two players surging. You obviously gave me D. Winters, but give me two. It could be anyone. Established, unestablished players surging. And two guys that, not that they're not surging, but you're kind of down on. And it's only a weekend. It's not the end-all, be-all. I'm just curious.
Well, two guys who are surging, I'd say Dominic Pooney, third-round pick out of Kansas. They basically had to, install him as the first-string right guard because Spencer Burford is out with a hand injury. John Feliciano's out with a knee injury. And so they're left with a rookie. And I know that Chris Foerster and Kyle Shanahan would rather not have a rookie play under the big lights against the Jets on Monday Night Football. But Pooney's looked good. I mean, he's looked unflappable. He's not perfect all the time, but the job doesn't seem too big for him. He's held up pretty well in the one-on-one stuff, which, that's really an advantage for the defensive linemen in those drills, and he's looked good there. He had a really nice block deep down the field on the opening play of 11-on-11s on Wednesday, knocked the safety down maybe 25 yards down the field. So he's got the nice movement. He's got size, just doesn't have a lot of experience, at guard, really. So that's the the quest for Foerster and that offensive line group is to get this guy ready potentially for a big game on September 9. And the other guy who I just think has looked good, if you had asked me this question last year, I would have said without hesitation, Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk looked great in the spring. He looked great in the summer. He was poised for the big season that he ended up having. The guy who's sort of my Brandon Ayuk this year is D'Amador Lenore. Just looked really, really good, really confident. You know, he's going into a contract year, just sort of the same way that Ayuk was, not a contract year per se, but was going to get paid at the end of the year. And so, you know, Lenore is motivated. Like I said, he just seems like he's peaking just at the right time. So those two guys look good. You know, the guys who, you know, I have question marks about are injured guys. And, you know, Isaac Garendo, fourth round running back, only played a few snaps before he was hurt. And now he's out for a while.
It was first day of practice, right?
What's that? Yeah. Hurt his right hamstring and a pretty bad strain. So they should be getting some of their other hamstring guys back maybe at the end of this next chunk of practices. But Garendo is going to be a little bit longer. And when you're a rookie and you're out for this long, you just fall behind. And you start to wonder, okay, where's the room for him on the roster? And then you start to wonder, okay, does he go on to an injury list to start the season? And all of a sudden you're wondering whether this is a lost rookie year. It's sort of the same way that Cameron Latu's rookie year was lost last year, the tight end, went on to an injury list and you never heard from him again. So that's one that's gotta be a concern for the 49ers. I think that they had designs with him. He's so big. He's so fast as a kick returner. And they have to figure out somebody else to do that this year. And then Jacob Cowing, I think, was another guy that they really liked as a potential punt returner. And I think he's still got a shot at that. Like I said, maybe he comes back in the next few days and starts getting worked into that group. But, you know, he hasn't been out there doing that stuff until now. So he's got a bit of an uphill battle to catch some attention.
Matt Barrels here on the River Islands guest line on Morning Rush with Josh Askew, the Butcher, and Bonte Hill. All right, a couple more for you, Matt, because I do want to ask you about Shanahan and Purdy, but obviously Ricky Pearsall, the first-round pick, has been practicing. What's it look like with Ricky Pearsall? You know, there's a lot of different opinions on him, differing opinions. What's your initial opinion on Ricky Pearsall and how he's looked in shoulder pads here for the 49ers at training camp?
Yeah, he had his first real full practice yesterday, so there hasn't been a lot. But we saw him quite a bit in the spring, and I'm always reminded of that scene from Moneyball where you know, Jonah Hill comes into the scouting room and the Brad Pitt character keeps pointing at him when different players are raised, and Jonah Hill keeps saying, he gets on base, he gets on base. Ricky Pearsall gets open. He doesn't always have the ball thrown his way, but you know, he is good at shaking free. He gets open immediately. He's got a quick first step. He's reminiscent of Ayuk in a lot of ways.
So Matt, you're saying
that stands out to him. Say again.
You're saying he's the Greek god of separation.
He's the Greek god of separation for sure. But yeah, I wonder whether in the pre-draft stuff, when they were asking the scouts about Ricky Pearsall, whether they kept saying, he gets open, he gets open. And, you know, that's obviously the most important thing for a quarterback, especially in this Kyle Shanahan system. And for a guy like that, and when you got a quarterback like Brock Purdy, who's kind of seeing things ahead of everybody else, whose brain just works so efficiently, I think that's ultimately going to become a good marriage.
Where can Shanahan get better this season? Before we leave you, Matt, because we're taking some calls here about Shanahan and Purdy, and I love where this offense is at. I love where Brock Purdy's at, and I don't even want to get into the money that's going to happen next year. I just want to get through training camp and preseason and the season itself, but I feel good about Brock Purdy. And then there's Kyle Shanahan. Where can he prove? Now, this is year 8. I can't believe it's been 7 seasons prior to this. Where can he get better as a head coach, in your opinion, Matt?
Well, I mean, you talk about Purdy and what Shanahan can squeeze out of Purdy, who had a sensational second year. I mean, set the franchise record for yards. I mean, you talk about the San Francisco 49ers. That still, I don't think, really hasn't sunk in. But, you know, the one stat that stands out is that he did have 11 picks. And 11 picks is not a bad number for a second-year quarterback. I mean, it's better than what Jimmy Garoppolo was putting up, for example. But that's a number that can go down. I think that's an area of improvement for this team. There was one or two stinkers in there. The game against the Ravens stands out. And towards the end of the year, I think defense started to kind of put together a good game plan against Purdy. I mean, you saw it in the Super Bowl. If you've got cornerbacks that can play that press coverage, lock things up, and, you know, granted, not every team has cornerbacks like the Kansas City Chiefs had, but that's going to be a tactic against the 49ers this year. And Brock Purdy absolutely knows that, and he's been thinking about that, and the 49ers have been thinking about how they're going to adjust. But I think that's an area where they can make an improvement.
All right, Matt Barrows, enjoy your day off. Hopefully you figure something out there before you hit the practice field again tomorrow down in Santa Clara. Always appreciate the time, Matt.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Anytime. Matt Barrows, The Athletic, covers the 49ers, does a hell of a job doing it, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. We'll get them all from Detroit, Eddie, and San Jose in just a second there. But Shanahan.